preaching out of Proverbs today, and I'm going to be in Proverbs chapter 21, and I'm going to be moving throughout the Bible. I'll try to go a little bit slower and get to all, because I've got 9 points today, and but they're all short ones. I just want to make sure you can you get everything. If you want to listen along as I read, that's maybe best. If you don't want to turn every verse, that's fine. If you're going to turn to verses, I'll turn to Proverbs, and then we'll be in Corinthians a little later, and that's where we'll be mostly. I'm going to talk today about the best and worst of giving. We've never had Giving Sunday before. I rarely preach on a giving as a message, very rarely. But the best and the worst of giving. So I'm going to talk a lot about a lot of things. I want to talk about the worst of giving and the best of giving. I want you to understand, giving is not, we in our mind, we translate things. It's amazing how we hear words and we translate them to something else. Giving in the Bible, we think of giving money. And that's part of it. But giving the Bible is a whole spectrum of giving. Giving is an attitude. Giving is who you are. Giving is giving your time. Giving's a lot of things. And so today we're not necessarily talking about giving to the Lord financially. That's just a small part of what we're talking about. It's an attitude, and so we're talking about the best and worst of giving. I want to read just a few verses out of Proverbs because it's very wise to be a giver. And it's more important to be a giver. You'll give what you should give if you become a giver. And it'll become also part of you in every area. And if you're not a giver, it's not good. So just learn the attitude of being a giving person. Proverbs chapter 21, we're going to read a couple of verses there. And verse 25, it says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not." I want to say one thing. It's not going to be in the message a lot, but I want to say one of the reasons you ought to be diligent. There's a lot of reasons to be diligent, the Bible says to. One of the reasons you ought to work hard is so you can give. Lazy people, and it says a slothful man, he desires, it kills him because he wants, but he doesn't work hard enough to get what he wants. But lazy people can't give. That's one of the problems of being lazy. You ought to work and so you can give. But it says the righteous person, the right kind of person, it says the righteous gives and doesn't spare. They just love to give. They just give sacrificially. Then Proverbs 22 and verse 9. "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread," "for he giveth of his bread to the poor." There is a kind of person who is blessed by God to give. And sometimes that person who is blessed by God, it's a strange thing they will say, is they will kind of chuckle and say, "I'm overpaid. I get paid real well." It's kind of funny how much you get paid. That's usually a person who gets overpaid, because most people are not overpaid, okay? But some people say, "Man, that's so you can be a giver. God just blessed you because you're a special person who's supposed to, it's supposed to flow through you. You don't have that many expenses, and you're blessed in that way." And praise the Lord for that. And God says they are blessed in that way, and they're givers. Proverbs 28 and verse 27. I'm not giving any points yet. I'm just showing you giving and how wise it is in Proverbs. Proverbs 27, "He that giveth to the poor shall not lack." Proverbs 28:27. That's an important verse there. You give to the poor, you don't lack. God takes care of givers. "He that giveth to the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." And then Proverbs 11. So we see the positive of giving, then we see the negative. If you don't give, you can get in real trouble because you have that opportunity. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24. "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself also." It basically says there are those who give a bunch and they get more. There are those who hold back and end up with less. And that's the way it works. That's the way giving is. Let's go ahead and pray, and we will ask God to just bless the message. Father, I pray you'd help us understand the best and worst of giving. You say here that we can be in real trouble for withholding giving from the poor, and you say, be greatly blessed. And Lord, there's good giving, and there's lack of giving, there's bad giving. And we just pray that we today would understand our concepts and understand, Lord, I think at the end, the greatest points in giving. Help us understand, and as we celebrate Giving Sunday, may we understand these truths and get them and grasp them and be spoken to, Father, in a great way. We pray you just help us and do mighty things. In Jesus' name, amen. I love watching givers and how they are blessed. It's an amazing thing. There are people who love to give, and those people who love to give, a lot of people who don't love to give look at them and say, well, if I was blessed like them, I would give. You're backward. Okay, you're thinking all backward. You're like a person who won't exercise and won't eat right and is out of shape and said, well, if I was skinny like them, I would exercise and eat right. You got it backward there. Okay? God blesses people. I was just with Brother Hanada there in Haiti in June. And Brother Hanada got a new vehicle. And it's an air-conditioned vehicle. And it's a truck. It's a Kia, and it's a four-door truck where you can put about six or eight people in the front, and then you have the back there. And it's brand new. And somebody in the States gave him money to buy this thing. And it's pretty spendy, I'm sure, to have this thing, to buy this thing. I'd guess it's a $35,000 vehicle. And in Haiti, well, there's extreme poverty everywhere. I've been there four times. Extreme poverty in Haiti. The poorest country I've ever been to. And I've been to poor countries. And as I'm there, I'm looking at him. But Brother Hernada, I don't despair him having that. Because while he was picking me up in that vehicle, and I was praising the Lord for the air conditioning because it's so hot there, and as he's picking up the vehicle, in the back of the vehicle was a ton of food. And it was all caged in. It's all locked up because it's dangerous to carry too much food around Haiti in Port-au-Prince. And he was driving that food back to feed all the orphans. This man moved from the Philippines, gave everything up, lives, and his house has been attacked by mobs twice. This guy lives a sacrificial life all day. People are coming to him. My sister is dying. We don't have money, and they won't take you in the hospital there if you don't have money. She needs money to get her to the hospital. We don't have any food at the orphanage. This one of his graduates from his Bible college. We don't have any food for the orphanage. All day long, he's feeding orphans. He's feeding hungry people. He's taking care of people all day long. And I look, and I saw that vehicle. He's saying, I didn't pay anything for this, Pastor. Somebody gave me the money in America. They ask, what one thing would I want? And I said, I want a vehicle because his old vehicles, oh, man. You think you drive bad vehicles. His old vehicles. Oh, man, talk about a matter of prayer trying to get anywhere in those things. I had one breakdown three times on one trip of 25 miles. Okay? And he's like, Paul, I said, I need a good, reliable vehicle that we can haul all the food in and stuff. And Brother, you give. I'm not worried about. God's blessing you for your giving. And thank God you have air conditioning. You always pick me up in an air conditioned vehicle. And I just look at that and see how blessed a giver is. And giving is fun. Because if you become a giver, you become a vessel that God gives to you to give to others. It just flows to you and through you. And it's pretty fun when you get to be a giver. Being a giver is great. It's an immense, there's an immense amount in the Bible about giving. I started to look up in the concordance. I had a lot of thoughts, but I always kind of concordance, look up every word, a certain word or something. And I started looking up the word give. And I said, forget it. There's too many times in the Bible. I mean, it was hundreds of times. And then giveth, and then giving, and then giver. And there's so many things in the Bible on giving. I learned. I did not know the Bible had that much about giving. It's just everywhere. It's all over. But obviously, it brings blessings and curses. We sell those verses there. Bible says, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, shall be given to your bosom freely. For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God blesses givers, but then he says, those that turn their eyes to the poor, they're going to be poor themselves. And so God talks about giving a lot. I want to say this, and it's not nothing to do with the message, but I want to say it because I'll forget to say it otherwise. You've got to be diligent so you can give. that means getting an education, if that means whatever, you've got to work. Don't be a taker all the time. Don't live off the government. Don't live off other people. Work. Work hard. Okay? And have to give. I think you ought to do that. I think you ought to be diligent. I think that's important to do that. And I understand if you have no arms and no legs and are blind and deaf. I understand. We get that. Okay? But most people can find some job to work. Okay? There's help wanted signs all over right now. You're in the fastest growing economy in the United States. In the United States, you're in the fastest growing economy in the world right now. In the area you're in. There's jobs out there. Flipping burgers is fine, by the way. If that's what you can do, flip burgers. Okay? I want to say work. Just work. But I want to say, secondly, nobody thinks they have extra money. Everybody spends everything they have in America. It's just a fact. And I've been blessed to travel the world and see a lot of things and see a lot of people. I have been poor in America. I've been American poor. I've been poorer than any American I've ever known. Okay, except for a few immigrants in Chicago, a couple times. I lived 1 month on $15 of food. I didn't get given anything. That's what we ate, $15 of food in 1 month. I did that. We lived 3 days in one box of cornmeal. Okay, I've been pretty poor, for an American. Okay, and I've seen that, and I've seen people struggle, and I know people struggle, but most people, when last recession came, I saw it come, and I said, you know, here's what I wonder. We'll find out if we're really poor if Starbucks are empty. And you know what? Starbucks weren't empty. And we'll find out if we're really poor when obese people in America poor people in America are not obese. There's a huge, we have an obesity problem among our poor. That means we aren't that poor. Okay? If you understand that. Everybody spends all their money. If I said to you, if you can come up with $500 by the end of the month, I will give you $1 million, you'd find out you have more spare money than you thought. You'd find a way to save that $500 somehow. Because, okay, I don't spend a whole bunch of money, but you bought Cheetos, and you ate out on the way home from work, and you bought a Starbucks for $4, and all that stuff. And I'm not against all that stuff, you have the money. I'm just saying, everybody thinks they don't have any money. I tell the people on food stamps, you need to tithe in your food stamps, bring money for the food bank back there. They do, and we have people who bring food stamp money, they buy food money for the food bank, and we fed two people this week with the food bank. And I think that you have more than you think is what I'm saying. People say, I don't have anything to give. I doubt that. Now, if you don't have anything to give, that's fine. We tithe because the Bible says our first fruits to God. But I'm saying, don't be an American consumer who spends all your money and then says, oh, I wish I had to give. If you have three big screens, you have to give. All three of them, that'd be fine. If you have cable TV, you can cut it off. What'd I do? You'd get to know your family names. And you had all kinds of things that happen. You say, you're bigger than I remember you last. All kinds of things that happen. I get myself in so much trouble right now. I want to say, the people I've been with in Haiti would take your budget and say, you don't think you have money to give? And laugh at you. They would say, you know people you could feed with this? You spend your money on what? I'm not against that. Yeah, but we blow money. We blow money. We burn it up. And I think that we should be careful in saying, I don't have anything to give, when there's a thing called Craigslist and eBay that you can sell some of your junk. And listen, sir, I know how us men are. And you're going to use it again someday, but it's been 5 years, and you haven't used it yet. You might never use it. And, you know, women can be pack rats too. I just want to say, don't act like you don't have anything to give when you're living like a typical American, eating out. Listen, I went by somebody, they said, we don't have any money, we're broke, we're barely able to pay our rent this month, we're in real trouble. And I said, oh no. I went down to their house, I brought loads of food with me. I brought it in, I put it on the table, said, I brought some food with me. And they said, oh, we didn't know you were going to do that. And they kind of looked through it and they kind of fingered through it and they said, why'd you do this? I said, well, you said you don't know if you're going to be able to pay your rent this month. And they said, you know, you can take this stuff home. We're not going to eat it. We don't cook anything. We eat out every night. They said, we hardly ever cook anything. I said, and listen, you know how expensive it is to eat out every day, three times a day, two times a day? I understand you got to stop. Nothing wrong with eating out. I'm not saying thou shalt not eat out. I'm not saying that thou shalt not buy Starbucks. If you buy Starbucks, it's fine. Bring me a Carl Macchiato. But if you're gonna do that, that's fine. Just don't go around and say I don't have anything to give. And I would give if I had something. If you gave, you would have something. And so that's nothing with the sermon. That was free. That was the extra bonus 10%. And so I want to give you a few thoughts here on giving. We must give properly. We obviously see we're going to be blessed by giving or cursed by not giving. But I want to talk about the best and worst of giving. Number one, the worst is not giving. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. Let me read you here. I want to say the worst we can do is just not be a giver. Just not be a giver. 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How can you see your brother? How can you see a Christian? How can you see someone hungry and not help them? God says, give. How can the love of God dwell in you when you see a need and you will not give? Give to missions. Give to the church. Give to people who are hungry. Give to people who need food. Listen, I understand it's a little hard to give in America. I know it. It's a struggle I have. We have focused our giving over and over and over. When I collected clothes for about 5 years. So when I started the church, all the poor people, we could have clothes for them and give them clothes. I never gave a piece of clothing away. Nobody wanted them. I gave them all to the thrift store eventually. We have very few people who want food. But we do sometimes. We feed people. And like that, I know Americans, I know the government gives a lot of money away, and I know that, I understand that there's a lot of programs, and I understand it's hard, but there are poor people here and there, and we find them. There are poor people around the world that we're able to help. There's these pastors who live, and I'm telling you, in squalor, that we can send them $75 a month, and one of these pastors in the Philippines or Haiti or one of these countries that we go to and work with, these national pastors, they, $75 a month is like $2,000 to you. It can do amazing things to them. How can you see needs? And I don't give cash to the guy in the corner and watch him go by. One of our people did that. He said, Pastor, you wouldn't believe it. I went and gave a guy cash. He said he didn't have any money. He needed some food. I gave him cash. He walked right in the store and walked out with beer. I said, and you're surprised? So I don't give cash out to guys standing in the corner. That's why I don't. I've seen them to other people. I'll buy them. I've taken them food before, but I don't buy them. Listen, I know it seems like there's not that many needs, but there are around the world. There are needs for this church. You saw the needs right there. We picked them up. We help people in need, and we want to do those things. How can you not give? You say, I got enough of my own problems. Listen, can you lose weight? Then you're blessed. Nobody's saying, that's me. I know. But I'm just telling you, if you can lose weight, you're blessed. If you have a roof over your head and a heater or an air conditioner or anything to keep moderate temperatures, you're blessed. You have furniture. I want to tell you this. You know what? I go into houses that have no furniture right now in America. They're immigrants, all of them. They got here and they didn't have anything, and they're waiting to get their right cards to work and all this stuff, and they have no furniture. Listen, everybody is not as blessed. How can we not be givers? Number two, the worst is just not giving. The second worst we can do, and we're going from the worst to the best in giving, is we can give for the wrong reasons. I'm going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 6. We can give for the wrong reasons. Now, it's better to give for the wrong reason. Let's say you give and you say, I want to impress Pastor Byron. I'm going to give $1,000 to the orphans in Haiti. And you give me $1,000. You give the church $1,000 to the orphans in Haiti to get glory of men. That is not why you give. But that's better than not giving. The $1,000 will still feed orphans in Haiti. Okay? It's better to give for the wrong reasons than not give, but you shouldn't give for the wrong reasons. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou doest thine alms, do not let thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms that you're giving may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so we see that. It says you don't give so people can praise you and you can get credit. I do not know who gives anything in Open Door. I don't count the money. I don't see it. I don't. I do not know who gives and doesn't give. And so it's not. They're not going to impress me, first of all. But I want to say, do not give so you can impress people. Give because you love people and because you love God. Give for the right reasons. It's wrong to give for the wrong reasons. You want to give for the right reasons. And so you can give even for the wrong reasons. Amen? There are people who go to church for the wrong reasons. Amen? There are people who do all kinds of things to get impressed, to impress people, to put on a show. Don't do the right thing for the wrong reasons, and don't give for the wrong reasons. Next, the next wrong thing, and we're going just from the worst of giving to the best, which the worst is not giving. The second worst is giving for the wrong reason. And then a little better is giving without love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, it says you need to give in love. If you give without love, it says you're really nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, there's well-known verses. And then I'll spend a decent amount of time in Corinthians here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3, it says this, for though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I give all my goods to feed the poor, and I do not have love. That goes along with the bad motivation. It profits me nothing. And it says all the good works. There's all kinds of good works in 1 Corinthians 13, but it says if you don't do them with love, you have nothing. You need to have love for people, love for God. You got to have the right motivation. You need to not give without love. Give because you love somebody. By the way, it makes you feel better. You know, you brought coins. Some of you brought toys. You know what? I understand the kids are going to come and have the treasure hunt. When you get to heaven, you're going to feel so good that you gave to be a part of that. You give to the church and the money goes off to some missionary. He goes and fixes a van or fixes another van or fixes another van or fixes another van when they break down. And you gave and it paid for gas. It is a joy to give. But you want to give knowing I'm giving because I love God and he tells me to give. I love people. I want them to be helped. Give with love. Now let me talk about the good giving things. We said we shouldn't. The worst is not giving. The second worst is giving for the wrong reason. Third is giving without love. But now some good things. First of all, and this is, we're going for the worst, the best. This is not the very best. We'll get to the best later. But giving to be blessed. That's good to do. It's just not the very best. Let me read to you out of Luke chapter 6. Same for Corinthians. We're going to be there a little bit more if you're turning in your Bible. Giving to be blessed. There is nothing at all wrong with giving to be blessed. The Bible says this, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And then Malachi chapter 3, the famous chapter where he talks about tithing, he says in Malachi chapter 3, he says, prove me now herewith if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. God says, if you tithe, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Their crops are being devoured because they weren't giving to God. And God says, you can test me in this. It's the only thing the Bible allows you to test God in. You can give to God and see if he doesn't bless you. And he says, try it. Watch. I will open the window of heaven. I will pour out a blessing upon you, and your barns won't be able to hold it. In other words, you might say, you know what? I have real financial needs. I need to give. Our church years ago, we ran into a real financial crunch. And I guess it's probably 4 or 5 years ago. And things just got real, real tight all of a sudden. And we don't run things real tight as a church. We don't push it to the edge and are in financial trouble. We try to stay ahead and do things like that and not spend everything. And so, it just wasn't there, and we had expenses, and everything kind of came at once. And I said, we're in real financial trouble, folks. So you know what we're going to do? I don't see the answer. I don't see any way to budget out of this. So we're going to start giving. And we made every midweek, every Thursday night's offering, we sent that to another ministry. We sent it to a pastor struggling here, or a church struggling here, or a missionary struggling here. And we just started sending that money to missionaries every week. You know, it wasn't long before all of a sudden, everything turned around and we were doing well financially. You know, it's okay to give, to be blessed. God says he blesses giver. God loves a cheerful giver. He blesses. He gives us blessing. And so it's okay. Israel got promised, if you will do this, I will bless you. And God will bless your finances. Hey, J.C. Penney was a Christian man who decided to start tithing. He started his company. He tithed 10% and he found out he got blessed and his company just grew. He kept on tithing and he could not build enough stores. By the time J.C. Penney died, he was tithing 90% and keeping 10%. He was having a contest to see if he could outgive God. And God kept giving more back. He was shoveling at God with a little sand shovel for the beach, and God was shoveling back with a big snow shovel. That's how it is when you give to God. Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. God's cramming it in for you and overflowing. That's what it says. It's okay. Give because you want to be blessed. Give because you want God to meet your needs. Give because you want God to bless you. That's biblical. And that's good. That's fine to do that. Next, how should we give? Even better is giving cheerfully. Now I'm going to do 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Giving cheerfully. Second Corinthians, and I'm going to read chapter 9. Talking about giving here, it says, every man according as he purposed it in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Oh, man, you know, God says, I don't want you to give to me grudgingly. I don't want you to go, No. God says, I love it when somebody's happy to give to me. I love when someone's happy to give to the things I care about. I love when someone's happy to help somebody who's in need. I love when somebody gives the cause of Christ and buys tracts and buys and pays for things. I love when someone is happy. You know what? I'm so happy there's so many people who want to give more. They want to. Now, maybe you don't have a lot of money. Maybe you say, you know what? Tithing on me is $10 because I'm poor. And that's fine. Whatever your tenth that God is, if you don't have much, that's fine. God loves a cheerful giver. Be glad to give to God. Not saying, oh, I have to do this and I'm not going to. No. God likes a cheerful giver. He wants somebody. By the way, aren't you like that? You ever give someone a job to do and they grumble so much you say, never mind, I'll do it? Hey, can you go do this? Oh, brother. What? You don't count to, you know, do you know how bad my back is? Imagine they all of a sudden they go, and all of a sudden they start complaining and griping and they're so, and you say, never mind, I'll take care of it. God loves a cheerful giver. Lord, you gave me some money to give to somebody. Lord, thank you, God, for the chance to give. God loves a cheerful giver. Not a grudging giver. Amen? Don't be sad you have to give to the cause of Christ. Don't be sad you have to feed somebody. Don't be sad you have to go and help pay for church rent and church tracks and buses and everything else. Don't be sad. You get to give. Amen? You don't have to give. You get to give. Next, even better than giving cheerfully is giving liberally. Same chapter in verse 8. It says, but God is able to make, make sure I got the right, chapter 9, I got a whole passage here. Let's start at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, if you give, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound toward every good work. Now, I want you to notice that, because I'll get back to a later point. If you give, God's able to take care of you. Remember that. Having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he that dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us to the thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13 I just read. And so it's liberal giving, it says there. Your liberal distribution. God says give liberally. Give liberally. Give when it hurts. Give freely. I had years ago, I'll never forget, I was down at Burlington Coal Factory, and I went, and I was just having a shop for something, and I saw this tie. And this tie went, wow, that is the best looking tie I've ever seen in my life. It was a good looking tie. I said, look at that thing. I looked at it, and I said, I got to have this thing. I am, you talk about a guy who's not impulsive, I am the least impulsive guy in the world. If I'm not going in there to spend anything, I don't spend anything. You can't talk me to buy. I don't get tempted that way. But I had to have this tie. And I bought this tie and I went home. I said, honey, and I don't get excited about clothes. I said, honey, you would not believe this tie. It's the best second tie I ever saw. And I took it out. And I said, look at this tie. And everybody in the room went, oh, that's beautiful. That's the most beautiful. My daughters, my wife, that's the most beautiful tie I've ever seen in my life. I love that tie. That was the best looking tie in the entire. I've never seen that good looking. And they were always like, that is the best looking tie. I wore it to church and I got all kinds of compliments. Man, pastor, I like that tie. That's a sharp tie. I said, man, I love this tie. It's the best looking. And people don't normally notice stuff like that. And I love this tie. Everywhere I'd go. I went down to Oregon, wore my favorite tie. They were in a special meeting. And I think I was preaching there at the conference, and everybody's, and you wouldn't believe it, people walk up and say, that is the best looking tie I've ever seen in my life. I said, oh, no, me too. I love this tie. And Brother Munster walked up and he said, where did you get that tie? He's my pastor. I said, oh, I got it at Burlington. He says, that is the best looking tie I've ever seen in my life. He's been wearing ties since he's like 9. He's been wearing ties like 50 years this time. And he said, that's the best looking tie I've ever seen in my life. And boy, God said to me, you know, if a man of God, David wanted a drink of water, and three guys fought through hundreds of Philistines. If a man of God wants a tie like that, you ought to give it to him. I said, I'll give him a tie, not my tie. This is my tie. Oh, man. I took the tie off, went back into his office, snuck into his office, laid the tie across the back of his chair. I left that tie there. Never found the like, by the way. Still bitter about it. But I gave him that tie. I left that tie. About a year later, I'm in a pastor's conference. We're at a pastor's luncheon. And there's Brother Mutzer with my tie, his tie. And there he is, that tie on. And he's wearing that tie. And he walks in the room and he sits down. And the pastor next to him says, that is a sharp tie. And another guy looks over and says, that is a sharp tie. That is, wow. That's a good-looking tie. And they said, where'd you get that? And he says, you know, I don't remember. But he says, everywhere I wear this tie, everybody says it's the best-looking tie I've ever seen. I said, I can tell you where he got it. And I didn't say anything. I kept my mouth shut. You know, it's easy to give away. The church gave us these chairs. They were getting rid of them. And he called me back. And I kept on saying, no, 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 we got any money for them. And finally he said, I got to put them somewhere. Can I give you the chairs? And I said, fine. And so he gave us the chairs. And he called me back later and he said, do you like those chairs? I said, man, I didn't think they'd be that nice. He says, oh, I know. And he says, whenever anybody offers to give me something free, I always say no. because they give you something. Well, I couldn't do anything, and nobody else wanted it, so I'll give it to the pastor. And so I said, no, those are nice chairs. I thank you for it. And you know, it's easy to give what you don't want. It's easy to give the money you're not going to spend anyway. But how about giving liberally? How about giving me your best tie? And how about... I don't like your best tie. If you ever find that tie, though. But how about giving something that you like? How about this week you say, you know what? Not buying any Starbucks. I'm going to give it all to the cause of Christ. Okay, let's try something a little easier. Let's just talk about giving your car away. Forget Starbucks. And listen, some of you have addictions you need to do something about. How about giving liberally? How about being a free giver? You know, how about saying, God, I've got this money in my pocket. Give me somebody to give it to. How about hurting when you give? That's the next point. Give sacrificially is even higher. Give sacrificially. The great story is the story, and I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 8 while we're there. I wasn't going to turn to it. We'll turn to it. 2 Corinthians 8, since we're there. Giving sacrificially. People have an issue with this. They don't think this is right. Well, God says it's right. It says, moreover, verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, ye do to wit of the grace of God bestowed by the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. There's that liberal giving again. He says they're in deep poverty. Listen, in New Testament times, they said you're in deep poverty. You're in deep poverty. And he says, the church in Philippi, in Macedonia, they gave to you in Corinth for me to start the church. They sent money to me to start the church for you guys in their deep poverty. There are people who say, when you don't have any money and you're poor, you shouldn't give. That's not biblical. I'll give you a real good example. Famous story. The poor widow and her last two mites, she gave the last two mites she had. And Jesus praised her for it. You want to turn there? You want to write that reference? Luke 21, 1 through 4. Jesus praised her. And it says, this woman hath given more than them all because she gave sacrificially. I want to say this. You're always required to tithe. Whether you can pay your other bills or not, the tithe is the Lord. It's your first fruits, the first thing you do. But you should always give. Now, hopefully you won't have to decide pay rent or tithe. You won't have to decide eat or give to God. But you know, I want to say this. Give. If you're blessed where you don't have to, give till it does hurt. Jesus would never ask anybody to give everything. Oh, he did a bunch of times, didn't he? Right? Sell all ye have and give it to the poor. He said multiple times. Listen just for a sec. What if God said today, sell your house, sell your cars, sell your clothes, sell all your cash in your 401k, sell all of your possessions, all your toys, all your guns, all your gadgets, all your quads, all your, sell everything, all your tools, all your shoes, sell everything. Keep the clothing you have on you, give the rest to God, and be rich in heaven. How are we doing? What if God said to do that? You say, where's the exit? I'm not saying God's saying to do that. Can you just say, Lord, thank you for not saying that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sacrifice a bunch. I'm going to give. I could give way more. Just don't ask me to do that. How about you just do it till it hurts? Then the Bible, they gave till it hurt. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. I always joke with my Filipino friends about Esmeralda Marcos. All the Filipinos are starving to death, and she had like 3,000 pairs of shoes. And I'll joke with them. I was like, man, what were you guys doing? You should have sold her shoes on eBay or something like that. It wasn't any eBay then. And I just think, how can some people live so well while other people live so. And how can we, you know, I have relatives, one of my relatives just told me, they just had to buy a bigger trailer because they bought one more quad. I thought they bought the trailer to hold the quads. Well, they did, but now that they got a bigger trailer, they want to get another quad, and then the other quad wouldn't fit the bigger trailer, so they had to buy a bigger trailer to fit the other quad. But now they got a bigger trailer so they can get another quad. People blow money, man. I don't have anything to give, though. I'm in debt up to my ears. And I'm not against you having that stuff. Have a good set of golf clubs and take me golfing. We'll go. And go to Starbucks once in a while. That's fine. I'm not against that stuff. I'm just saying sacrifice for the cause. How about working? How about this? So you know what? My company offered overtime. I'll work overtime one day a week and give that to Christ. That's sacrifice. Give till it hurts. You'll find out that the things don't matter as much to you. This world gets a lot more distant when you learn to sacrifice. It just makes you learn to hold things a lot lighter. Next, greater than giving sacrificially. We've got two more things. And these go beyond what you give financially. We're not talking about that. Giving yourself to God. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, the biggest thing you can give is not the dollar amount. It's not cash. It's you say, Lord, here am I. I give myself to you. That's giving. God, my life is yours. Wherever you want to send me. A long time ago, I said, God, anywhere you want me to go, anything you want me to do, my life is yours. Now, God, for whatever reason, was gracious and sent me to a nice area, and I live in a great area. But you know what? If God would have called me to Haiti, I'd be there. Because I gave myself to him. I'm not mine. I'm his. Bible says, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are his. I gave myself to God. Can I say, just give your life to God, whatever he wants? That's not any dollar amount. That's just your will and saying, as Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's giving. I'm giving you all, Lord. I'm giving you everything. The story was told, there was an offering going on, and it was a poor inner city church, and they had a mission, and the offering is going through, and all of a sudden, somewhere toward the back, the offering plate disappeared. That's always bad news. And the ushers start looking for it, and they start looking for the offering plate, and they get toward the back, and they find there is a homeless guy standing in the offering plate. And they said, sir, can you do that? And the guy was just crying. The homeless guy was just bawling his eyes out. And he said, what are you doing? Can you get out of that? And he said, I didn't have anything to give, so I thought I would just give myself. You know, give yourself to God. Give God a gift. God gave himself to you. Give yourself to God. Say, Lord, it's your life. Whatever you want to do. You know, you'll say, oh, no, God's going to send me to the middle of the jungle and I'm going to eat spider soup and I'm going to have a miserable life. That's what God does to everybody. No. It's caterpillar soup. And it's, listen, I am a person who gave my life to God. I am not starving, as you can see. I have lots of room to starve. And, I have a half acre property for my kids to run around on. I drive two cars that move and get from point A to point B most of the time. You know what? I'm so glad I gave my life to God. God's not out there to torture you. He might call you. That'd be a privilege. You'd be blessed if God called you to go. But you know what? Not everybody who gives their life to God eats spider soup. Okay? And you know what? I like... I don't like spider soup, but I like going to the fields. You know why? I go out to Haiti and I go to Africa. I go to Brazil, or Mexico, or wherever I go, or the Philippines. I go to these countries, and I come back and say, "Wow, am I blessed? I am so rich." Now the government tells me I'm below the poverty level. That's by the government's numbers for my size family, because they have ridiculous numbers. I am rich. Compared to most of the world, I am blessed. I have a problem where I have to stop eating because I eat too much. That's blessed. That's blessed. I told you before when I was in Haiti and talking to a pastor, and we were in a room and it was a million degrees, way too hot, and I was sitting in that hot room. And I remember him saying to me, he says, how do you like the room to preach in America? He says, do you like it when the room is cold or you like it when the room is hot? I hate when they ask me those questions. I said, the room is always the same temperature. He tilts his head and looks at me. He says, what do you mean? He says, isn't it cold outside sometimes where you live? I said, yeah, it gets cold and it gets hot. He says, well, why is it always the same temperature? I said, we got this thing called climate control. And I said, if it's too cold, we have a heater. It warms the room up. He didn't know what a heater was. It's Haiti. It never gets below 90. They don't know what a heater is. I said, if it's too cold, we have a heater. And if it's too warm, it's an air conditioner. It's always about 69 degrees. Really? And here we are in America. Pastor, the air conditioning is not working. It's 74 in here. Go with me to Haiti and sit in a room with 190,000 people in a little room and go when it's 120 in the room and humid, and you'll feel like this room is perfect. And you go and you say, you know what? I have not really given that much to God. I've not sacrificed that much. My life's pretty good. And don't, please, you're looking at a guy who's traveled the world into poverty and the jungles and the, don't whine to me about how bad you got it. I'm just not the guy. Are people from Rwanda back here, or people from Congo back here, or people from Nigeria, or people, they've seen rough. They know. Our Haitians, they know. Listen, and God comes to us and he says, I've given you an immense amount. I've given you all these blessings and all these things. It's unbelievable how much I've given them. And they say they don't have anything to give. And the poor people in the third world country are sending money because they are willing to sacrifice. Willing to sacrifice. Got to finish. Last of all, the greatest giving is God giving himself for man. That's the greatest giving that's ever been done. See, we can sacrifice, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I've sacrificed a little bit here and there. I've not sacrificed that much. I don't feel like. God sacrificed. He gave sacrificially. He gave his child. Just stop for a sec. Think about you saying, you know what? I'm going to give my child to be tortured to death. For God so loved the world. God loved us all so much. He knew there's one way to heaven through Jesus Christ. Nobody else is going to go to heaven. Everybody has sinned. Somebody had to pay for the price of those sins. God said, I love mankind so much. Jesus, go to God the Father, said to the Son, go to earth, live a sinless life, and be the sacrifice for their sins. And he gave his only begotten Son. You say it. That doesn't seem fair. It's not fair. Doesn't seem right. Nope, not right. We should have all just gone to hell, and God just said, you deserve it. But God loved us so much that he gave his son. He sacrificed his son for you and I. All the whining and all the, what do I have to do? And I don't got anything. All of it kind of gets embarrassing and gets to be a shameful thing when we look how God gave to us. How can you ever pay that back? You never can. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. You can never give enough to God to make up for what he's given and how he's given to you. The ultimate example of giving is Jesus. No man takes my life, I give it freely. I want to die for them. My Father sent me and I love them. I want to die for them. Romans 8:32, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Listen, there's a lot of ways to give. You can give to be blessed. You can give cheerfully. You can give liberally. You can give sacrificially. You can give yourself to God. That's the least obligation. It's your reasonable service when God gave himself for us. Can't we just love God enough to give him everything? And just say, whatever you want, God, anything I have, you want it, it's yours. You want my tie? You can have it. You want my shoes? You can have them. You want my car? You can have them. My car is for you. You want my bank account? It's yours. Whatever you want to do with it, God, you gave everything for me. I'll give everything for you. You gave everything. I'm yours. Today, don't make God's gift for you, his giving, how he gave to you with his son, wasted. Accept Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Christ, your Savior, accept him today. If you've accepted Christ, I want to say, can you just learn to be a giver? Now, I don't know how much can I, not how much. Just be a giver. Whether it's you, whether it's your time, whether it's your energy, your strength, your money, your mind, whatever you can say, how can I give to God? I want to give. I want to give. It's not just money. It is us. It's our energy, talents, time. Give. They're called gifts. Give to God. Give to God. Give. Be a giver. Be a giver. Be a giver. Not so you can show off. Not so you can, but just love. And give to God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. As we look at your word, I pray today we learn a little bit about your great giving ability. How you showed us we could never equal up to your sacrificial giving. I pray today that we would love you. And I pray today that we would just learn to give everything, ourselves, our time, our energy, our money, our life. I pray we learn to sacrifice for a God who sacrificed all for us. Lord, I pray today if someone doesn't know Jesus, they be saved, that accept Christ's gift of eternal life and the giving that you gave of your Son for our sins. May they be saved today. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, our eyes are closed.